Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Have a full hour here. You're welcome to call in, hang out with us at any time, 790-2040. And that's the number that my two guests today will be using themselves to call in and spend some time with us on the show. Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor, will be on in just a moment to talk about the local church and solutions to housing in a pandemic. We'll talk about the eviction crisis. Take a little bit of a shift from what we usually talk about here on the air with Pastor Jeff Locks, and talk about how does the church as a community partner, what is the role in 2021 going forward in meeting some of our great challenges here? And then, of course, we'll do our Wisdom for Weird Times. Supervisor-elect Rex Scott from District 1 will be on the balance of the hour. We'll talk about his narrow victory in a tightly contested District 1 race, beating the Republican challenger Steve Spain by a mere 730 votes. We'll talk about that. And what comes next for him? What issues will he have to manage immediately sitting in that seat as we head towards the new year? So without further ado, let's get into it. Good morning, Pastor Jeff Loxton, our man of the cloth in shorts and a t-shirt. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Zach.
And because it is 90 degree weather this week in November, because we're just cool like that in Tucson, you probably are wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
Nice.
True to form.
Nice. Oh, man. So, you know, you and I were just 60 seconds of context here. You and I were chatting earlier this week about kind of what are the issues that people are thinking about? What are the issues in the news? What do we tackle from a faith and culture perspective, faith and community perspective? And I mentioned there are two things that have been really on our radar here on the show, and that is housing and eviction crisis. It's very much impending, in some ways already here. And also just, you know, some of our challenges around education right now, and so many kids and families dropping completely off the radar of our schools and school systems. What is the role of the church as a stakeholder partner in working together with other community members to solve some of these challenges? And so we wanted to kind of shift what we do a little bit here to discuss that. I know we've got some data points and some themes on the housing front today, Pastor Jeff, but anything in terms of introducing kind of this conversation point we'll be hanging out on for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, a few things to note. We know, or, you know, according to information from Habitat for Humanity, nearly one-third of people cannot afford all of their needs right now. We see families struggling to make rent both fully and on time. We see that about 35% of surveyed adults still expect someone in their household to lose their job within the next month. 15% of homeowners and 35% of renters are reporting that they feared that they wouldn't be able to make next month's mortgage or rental payment. So there's still a great deal of uncertainty with regard to the future.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, 20% of households, Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church here in Tucson, in June 2020, 20% of households did not pay any rent by the first of the month. And there's been a lot of, a number of resources that have been provided in the last couple months to both renters and landlords. The governor extended the moratorium on rent payments past what it originally was to give a little bit more relief. But those rent payments are still going to come due. It's not rent forgiveness, Pastor Jeff. It's a moratorium on paying rent. And just one more data point. We're not going to drown listeners in data, Pastor Jeff. But Tucson's eviction rate before COVID of 5.1% was 1.2 percentage points higher than the state of Arizona, and almost double the national rate. Isn't that crazy? That Arizona is worse than its western peer states, and Tucson is worse than Arizona's rate. And so we've got layer and layer of worseness in terms of the importance of this issue. And of course, we don't want to overlook that 40% of landlords are people that are like you and me, Jeff. We're not landlords, but individuals, right? We don't have, you know, 10 multifamily properties. We're not big companies. It may just be someone like you or me renting out a house or a unit, people who are dependent on this rent for their livelihood. So this is a whole ecosystem of challenges here. What else are you seeing, and what are some of the solutions? How can the church and how can people who care and or people of faith get involved in meeting some of these challenges in real ways?
Well, I think some of the things that we're seeing is a trickle effect. So even if you are a landlord and you've got X number of properties that you're leasing and that surplus was there, if you're leasing the people, you know, there's themes within various cities. I think within Tucson at large, we have a certain percentage. I don't know those exact numbers, could be information for a future show, but a certain percentage of the community is in the hospitality industry. I know a new high school that just opened up this last year has devoted an entire segment of its education to the hospitality industry. So we know that that's prevalent, and we know that people are in service industry here in Tucson. And during a pandemic, that was hit super hard. And so the kind of jobs that are there that have been put on hold because of the pandemic is suffering effects. If you're a landlord and those are your tenants, you're, by virtue of connection, suffering effects. The other dimension has to do with mental illness. And again, I don't know the exact percentages, but organizations like NAMI, who are available for those with mental illness, are devoting time and resources to those who are struggling with mental illness. So to give you an example of how that plays out, people with mental illness may not have the same capacity to understand things that are going on, receiving a check from the government and choosing to use that check for surplus items instead of items like paying rent or taking care of car payments. And now all of a sudden they're twice as much behind in their financial needs because of how that money was supposed to. Those are just a few filters to consider when looking at the actual challenges we're facing collectively as a community.
Right. We're with Pastor Jeff Loxton this morning of Hope City Church here in Tucson, kind of fleshing out what we're looking at in the interconnectedness of the issues that face us. Pastor Jeff, something you said, maybe pull up a quick email, and then I want to finish this segment. We've talked about, man, we're in kind of dire straits. It's not a surprise to anybody, but as individuals, as communities of faith, as communities, period, we have an opportunity, and certainly the church does, to stand in the gap on some of these things. And I'd love your thoughts on how we can all be a part of that who are listening. A bit of a different faith and culture segment here, but Family Housing Resources, if you don't mind, Pastor Jeff, a quick PSA, is supporting the city of Tucson to qualify homeowners and distribute funding to those who are in jeopardy of losing their home due to financial hardships related to COVID-19. Funding will be administered through Community Investment Corporation once a household qualifies. The total amount of funds allotted are $500,000. Each household can get $3,000 to $5,000 in total support. About 100 to 150 households can be supported through this. And there's a bunch of different qualifications. But if anybody is struggling, I think whether you are a landlord, whether you are someone who is trying to pay for housing, go to Community Investment Corporation, CICTucson.org. They've got a ton of different partnerships where they're able to help during this time. And a lot of these dollars actually go away by the end of the year. So CICTucson.org, a great community partner, organizationally helping to stand in some of these gaps. If you are a landlord, if you are a renter, or if you have a mortgage that you're struggling with, please visit them. Pastor Jeff, what are some individual ways that you've collected as a pastor of your church of ways that people can get involved and help on a number of these areas?
I think there are organizations like Interfaith Community Services, organizations like your local pantries, Our Family Services is another one. These are organizations that are receiving thousands of calls on a regular basis. They're helping hundreds of people on a regular basis. I know that there have been frustrations with people we've interacted with searching for help because they feel like they're a number in the system trying to find their way to the surface. There are advantages for people who are connected to faith communities. It could be the emotional support that comes from that faith community. It could be the relationship that faith community has with some of these partnering nonprofit organizations for funding and for resources. So I think at the core, for those who are listening and know someone who needs help or you yourself need help, getting together with people and brainstorming ideas with people who can give insight into these things, researching nonprofits. We're a nonprofit dense community, and there's a ton of people that have grants and funding to be able to help. I certainly don't know all of them, and I think being able to access them is a good thing. Taking on extra jobs, being creative, we have taken on two extra people in our household during this time, not because we wanted to, but because it was the right thing to do. And you have to do those things, I think, with a careful thought process, but being able to look at creative ways to be able to generate income in a time where we're all looking at creative solutions.
Pastor Jeff, we have a caller to get to in just a minute, but I think some things you mentioned is, you know, as Hope City Church, I believe you have a food pantry or you support a food pantry. You're part of support an organization that is working on a tiny house development for displaced youth. And I know at Hope City Church, you do a lot of connecting to other nonprofits. I mean, I think these are ways that churches can support in this effort and can be a hub for people who want to know how to help, but maybe can't do it all on their own. They can partner up with a church. Again, whether they are people of faith or not, churches have and will continue to be places of service and places of care. And you've curated a few of those opportunities at Hope City Church, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Tucson Neighborhood Food Pantry, IMU 360. Those are just a few of probably 15 different organizations that we partner with. Churches, that's the neat thing of our community, is churches are partnering together interdenominationally to be able to practically meet the needs of the community. And so we're in an amazing place to be able to receive that help for those that are looking. Reach out to a local church and begin to explore the possibilities.
Pastor Jeff, we've gone over a little bit over time than usual, but this is important stuff. Robert is on the line with another source for helping eviction victims. Really good stuff here. Robert, thanks for calling in and excited to hear what you're hearing out there.
Hey, Zach. The Primavera Foundation got dumped with federal funds, and they can lend assistance up to 3 months of your rent plus your utilities as long as it doesn't exceed $2,500.
Okay.
So Google Primavera Foundation and you'll find the link in there. And lastly, whenever they get around to this monster mess, there's only 10 constables in this entire county. And divorces and lawsuits are not going to stop.
Yep.
So it'll be quite some time before they get around to actually changing your locks if the worst happens.
Robert, I appreciate that insight. Primavera was not yet on my radar, so thank you so much. Primavera, I will get that website up during the break, and I'll mention it on the other side just so people can go and reference it, cictucson.org is another one I mentioned earlier. It might be good for me to compile some of those resources. I might do that. But these are individuals who are a part of our economic ecosystem. This is going to allow them to pay their landlords, which helps another family continue to survive this. These are people who buy goods and services. Supporting from the bottom up is so important right now to get through this. So Pastor Jeff will be with us for another segment when we come back. Wisdom for Weird Times, a bit of a different faith and culture contribution This morning from our contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, but meeting critical needs is something churches have always been a part of and will continue to, and we want to keep asking the question, how can churches be a valuable stakeholder in all of this? We'll be right back on 1030 The Voice. Rex Scott, after the bottom of the hour break, will be our guest for the balance of the hour, talking about his narrow win in District 1, now supervisor-elect on the Board of Supervisors. We'll be right back. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. Tucson, Southern Arizona, welcome on back into the 1030 The Voice studios. A rapidly moving first guest conversation with Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor, speaking to some of the eviction and socioeconomic crises facing so many of our fellow Tucsonans and Southern Arizonans, and how the church can both step up and be involved, but also be a volunteer and assistance hub for people who want to help and get involved, but maybe don't or can't do it on their own. Caller Robert mentioned Primavera. Primavera.org received emergency eviction prevention assistance dollars from the Arizona Department of Housing to eligible Pima County households. Check out Primavera.org. and CICTucson.org for different funding sources if you are struggling to pay your mortgage or rent, or if you are a landlord and your tenants are struggling with that as well. There's resources on both sides. Pastor Jeff, welcome on back in. Quick second segment here, but Thanksgiving is coming next week. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Give us some thoughts as we approach Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was looking at what you just shared and thinking of Proverbs 22. It said, "Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor." I think, you know, oftentimes for those that choose to pray before a meal, when you pray before a meal, we often hear ourselves say, "Lord, bless this food, bless me." I tend to think through a different filter. Would my actions bless you? Would my actions bless the people around me? I think we all want to be blessed. I think there's an interesting relationship between being blessed and how we're a blessing to others. And so with Thanksgiving in our near future, I think there, you were talking about evictions and the stresses that our community is facing. I think there's so many ways that we can be an encouragement to the people around us. Not specifically, sometimes we like to do that because we expect to get something back, or we want to lord it over somebody, hey, you owe me. And I think when we do it just to do it, apart from anyone ever having to pay us back or owe us in the future, really incredible things begin to happen. And so I just want to leave our listeners with one example that was an encouragement to me. There was an individual in our church that was trying to purchase a van, and it was his dream van, and he got it all fixed up. And then next thing I know, someone else is driving his van. And that someone else was a single mom who was encouraged to be able to use her van as an opportunity to give her neighbors rides when they needed rides. And I asked her about the van, and she said that this guy gave her the van as a gift and saying how much he wanted the van. And not only did he get his dream, but he gave it willingly to someone that could use it more. And today we're seeing five or six different ladies being blessed by the generosity of not just the guy that gave the van, but the woman who donates her time to be able to help them get rides to places.
I love it. Pastor Jeff, Hope City Church is your faith community that you lead here in Tucson. We've got about a minute and a half. Is there anything that that people can collaborate with you on, or if someone wants to volunteer or assist in some of the ways you've spoken about, is there any way that they can tag team with Hope City Church in the coming weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got this. I know this Sunday we're doing a Thanksgiving brunch from 10 to noon for people in the community that need a meal. I know that there are a handful of people looking to be able to provide meals for those that can't afford them. This next week, there's people looking to adopt families for Christmas. You can email me at info@hopecctucson.com. Or you can check out HopeCityChurchTucson.com and leave a message on our phone. I will say there's a handful of people asking, so be patient, follow up if you leave a message so that we don't lose you in the queue. And we would love to partner with you and see what we can do to be an impact and an encouragement to our community together.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, thank you for the little shift here in what we normally do, speaking to some of the pressing issues in our community, how the church and how your church can and is serving as a safety net and can be a hub for people who want to be a part of that safety net and taking care of our community through this really troubling time. I think we covered a lot of ground. Appreciate you, Pastor Jeff, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Zach.
Hope City Church Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor. Rex Scott is on the line, District 1 Supervisor-elect on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We'll be back in a minute. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at Mass Mutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson in Southern Arizona, good morning again to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. We're continuing this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and joined now in studio for the balance of the hour by Rex Scott, supervisor-elect for District 1 in the on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Barely been able to officially call Rex Scott supervisor-elect. I think that came out officially the news on Thursday, if my memory serves me correct. A narrow margin of 730 votes separated Rex Scott and the Republican challenger for the open seat on the board, Steve Spain. Rex Scott, good morning to you.
Zach, good morning to you. Really appreciate the invitation.
Yes, well, congratulations on a victory that was announced on Thursday officially and then certified yesterday by the...
It was actually Friday.
Was it Friday?
Yes, sir.
Time during COVID just... at some point, does it matter anymore? But no, we want to get it right. It was Friday, and I'm sure how this went down and the narrow win was probably not on your bingo card, Rex Scott. Tell me about what the end of this election was like, and what you make of such a narrow victory, but a victory nonetheless. Why was it so close? What does it say about District 1 in your mind?
Well, it shows that it is a very evenly divided district between not just Republicans and Democrats, but independents. There are right around 3,200 more Republicans than Democrats in the district, and there's also a sizable number of independents. So on election night, when the first round of ballots was announced, those were all the early ballots that had arrived in the recorder's office by the Saturday before the election. And Arizona has had an outstanding vote-by-mail system in place since the 90s, and the majority of voters in Pima County, as well as the rest of Arizona, do vote by mail. So when those vote-by-mail ballots came in, we had a lead of 11,000 votes. And then throughout the rest of the reports, the election day voters, the people who turned in their mail ballots later than Saturday, the people who dropped them off at the polls, the provisional ballots, all of those ballots favored our opponent, especially the election day ballots. Republicans turned out in big numbers on election day in every county race, including ours. So by the time all of the votes were counted last Friday, that margin of 11,000 had gone down to 730. But I'm still extraordinarily proud of the win. There has not been a Democrat elected in this district since 1972, 48 years ago. And in terms of voter registration, as I said, it is still a Republican lead. So we feel like we got some crossover support from Republicans who agreed with us on the issues more than our opponent, and we also think we did really well with the independents. I'm eager to see the official canvas so we can get a better sense of just how the voter turnout broke down.
Right. No, and that's not out yet, and that's going to tell a big story that we can't fully flesh out today. You know, one of the reasons why, and I actually got a little fun heat for it, not bad heat for it, but my out on the limb election prediction in the District 1 race, it was my one out on the limb prediction the day of the election. Rex Scott, supervisor elect for District 1 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, was a District 1 race. And I thought if there was an upset or kind of, you know, maybe a result that was not fully expected, it would be in District 1 with you winning in that district. And part of the reason was because of the immense number of registrations, the Democratic registrations from the presidential preference election earlier on. And one of the variables, of course, is are those voters going to become committed Democratic voters, or did they just vote Democrat to be able to vote in that PPE, the other kind of PPE? What do you make of the kind of the newish makeup of District 1. You're right, it is very evenly split. What do you think that requires of your governance moving forward? What does that mean for you on the governing body?
Zach, what it means for me is that it is incumbent upon me to be somebody who listens to all the voices within our district, honors all points of view on any given issue, does a lot of outreach and listening before making decisions on behalf of all of us. It is important that I be even-handed and open-minded, and that I demonstrate not just to the people who supported me in this election, but the people who supported our opponent, that I can be that kind of representative for everybody in District 1.
Rex Scott, as you prepare to sit in that seat and go from title supervisor-elect to supervisor, there's certainly a few issues in the next segment that I want to dig in from a policy standpoint with you. But what do you think are going to be the suite of issues, regardless of whatever your platform was? I think the sense is for most candidates that a number of platform items in the campaign are going to have to be put to the side for some pressing issues going into 2021. What do you see as that suite of pressing issues that you and the other supervisors are going to have to tackle first thing January 2021?
Well, I said throughout the campaign that the pandemic, the remainder of the pandemic and the recovery from it were going to set the terms for all of the work that we need to do as five county supervisors. You know, the essential work of local government is to ensure that all of the services and supports that our residents depend upon are delivered with the highest level of equity, customer service, and respect for the revenues entrusted to us. That is still the essential work of local government, even in these extraordinary times. But we are going to be challenged by the fact that we could hit a budgetary shortfall depending on what happens in both Washington and Phoenix. What I mean by that is that less than 40% of the revenue that the county relies upon comes from local property taxes, the four tax rates that are set by the board. The majority of the rest of the revenue comes from state shared revenues that we get. And if there is not a coronavirus relief package passed in Washington that honors the revenue losses for state and local governments, there's going to be a cascading effect down on counties, towns, school districts that is going to be monumental. And so I think that managing that essential task of providing all the services and supports county residents rely upon in a time of budgetary uncertainty, that's the reality we're going to be dealing with for certainly the next fiscal year and very likely the ones after that.
We're with Rex Scott this morning through the balance of the hour, supervisor-elect for District 1 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. My last question here, Rex, before we get into some specific issues in our second segment, is the makeup of the Board of Supervisors. It will be a 4-1 Democratic majority, and it will be three new faces on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. So it's kind of a two-layer question there. You know, Rex, you mentioned that the District 1 results lead you to be invested in a governance that is listening to all sides. But interestingly enough, in the last hour, outgoing supervisor in District 1, Allie Miller, was on the show before ours and mentioned that for the first 4 years of her eight, she was in a 4-1 minority, that she was on a 4-1 Board of Supervisors, and really felt throughout that time, for whatever reason, that she was really in a get-run-over position, that the Republican side didn't really have to be listened to, that it was kind of whatever priorities the Democratic majority wanted, what happened, because it was a 4-1 vote, pretty much regardless. We're kind of seeing that again here going to 2021. What do you make of that 4-1 majority, the new faces on the board? Is this going to be a balanced governance body, or is it going to be a heavily Democratic one representing Pima County?
You know, Zach, our responsibility as five supervisors, not just the four Democratic supervisors, but our partner in governance, Supervisor Christie. And that's the way I'm going to think about him. That's the way I'm going to refer to him. Our responsibility as five supervisors is to focus on providing service and producing results for the people who elected us. And if we can keep that focus and not get bogged down in personal or partisan issues, then we are going to do right by the people that all five of us represent. And that's going to be my commitment in terms of my interactions with all of my colleagues, including my Republican colleague in District 4.
Do you believe that the other two faces, the two new faces, Adelita Grijalva in 5, Matt Hines and Ramon Valadez's District 2, do you think that they will follow you in that, or are you going to have to be a voice calling for that bipartisan governance that you're mentioning?
No, I think they both have a background that speaks to their ability to work with people of all different backgrounds and ideologies. Supervisor-elect Grijalva has had that experience on the TUSD board and also working as the administrator of the teen court program. Supervisor-elect Hines not only did some work for the Obama administration in Washington, but he also was a Democratic legislator in legislatures where there were Republican majorities. So he knows what it's like to work in the minority and have to work across the aisle to advance his bills. So no, I think all of us and Supervisor Bronson are going to work in partnership with Supervisor Christie whenever we can. And I don't think that's going to require any coaxing on my part. I think that's going to be the mindset that all of us bring to the table, especially during this extraordinary time of challenge and crisis for not just Pima County, but the entire world. We can't get bogged down in partisan or personal issues when there's so much serious work to be done, especially on behalf of the people who've suffered the most during this pandemic.
With Rex Scott, District 1, Supervisor-elect on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Rex, I heard an interesting comment yesterday speaking to the national election results that if there is one big result, it really shows that Americans were offered the extremes of both parties and in different ways really voted down those extremes at the 2020 national level. And I agree with that assessment. I think people are most interested in problem solving, even though they get very little of it from government officials these days. So I fully back up your sentiment and support that proposition, Rex. When we come back from our first break of this conversation, last break of our hour, we're going to get into some issues with Rex Scott. That will certainly be on his plate sitting in on the dais there. COVID response and recovery, economic growth, the budget. We'll talk about what he's looking at as major issues in 2021. We'll be right back after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live.
It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live.
Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, we are back live here in the 103 The Voice studios. We're going to jump right back into our conversation with Rex Scott, the supervisor-elect in District 1 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Rex, want to get to COVID response and recovery here. I have a few things I'd love to pick your brain on while we have you in about the 10 minutes that we have left. Last Thursday, Dr. Fauci went on Good Morning America and said a nationwide lockdown was unlikely, saying there was, quote, no appetite for locking down in the American public. But he said that virus cases, which are spiking right now, could be reduced without such drastic measures. In his words, if Americans double down on basic preventative steps like social distancing and masks. Certainly, Rex, you will hear voices asking you to support, I'm sure, a locking down of the community again. Do you agree with Dr. Fauci? Would you be in support of locking down Pima County if cases keep going up, or will you be pushing for more of a doubling down on basic preventative steps?
What I'm going to do, Zach, and I think this is incumbent upon anybody who is in a public sector leadership position, is follow the advice of our public health experts who are giving us advice based on the local conditions for the virus. I think we're very fortunate to have outstanding public health leaders like Dr. Garcia and Dr. Cullen in Pima County, and I'm going to listen to what they have to say, and I am going to follow up on their recommendations. If we had, as a country, followed the dictates of science and public health more consistently than we have, we would not be in the position that we're in right now.
So what does following that look like going forward then? What are some of the two or three bullet points that are forming your agenda on this then?
I think right now it means keeping the mask mandate in place. I think that there is an abundance of evidence that shows that masks are a mitigation measure that helped to prevent the spread of the virus. I think that's number one. Secondly, I think we need to be continuing to monitor the rate of infection and all of the other data that we look like, and then make adjustments as necessary. I do not see a need for any kind of countywide lockdown. I think what Dr. Fauci was referring to is the fact that we've learned since the virus became the dominant factor in our lives back in the spring, we've learned of other measures that we can put in place, and that should not call for any kind of countywide lockdown.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Rex. I mentioned this on the show yesterday that we continue to talk about COVID prevention and mitigation as if it's April and March. And the fact of the matter is we've learned a lot, even at the hospital level, of how to manage this better, how to triage it better. It's not apples to apples, but no one's really talking about it in that way. So, Rex, that's encouraging. Kind of similar conversation. Do you believe that the current Board of Supervisors has done enough to support and sustain small business in our economy through this? And if not, what would you do differently to make it easier for businesses to make it through this time?
Back when the Board of Supervisors took the very appropriate step of adding more specificity and strength to the very vague regulations that were put out by Governor Ducey, for patronage of restaurants and other public accommodations, I was critical of them for not doing enough outreach to restaurant operators and other business owners to find out if any of those, if those regulations could be practically implemented. That's why the board had to go back and recalibrate them, I think, at least three times. So what I'm going to be committed to is doing a lot of listening and a lot of outreach to our private sector constituents to find out not only what their needs are, but what their suggestions are. One of the things I said when I was a school administrator is you can't make a decision until you talk to the people who are going to be implementing that decision on the ground. And so a lot of listening, a lot of outreach, I think, is essential for all five of us.
We're with Rex Scott here for the next 4.5 minutes and counting down quickly. The supervisor-elect in District 1 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. This might be my last question just because of time constraints, Rex, but I heard Matt Hines last week say something very interesting where he spoke about some of the economic growth opportunities in our region, some of the storytelling and branding of our region as companies are looking to nearshore, remote working is starting to take off. There's a lot of opportunities that I haven't heard the Pima County leadership speak to a lot. There's been a lot of focus on the health side. Certainly that is the mandate from the state that counties are the health policy makers. But the Pima County Board of Supervisors also has a role of economic growth and development. Is there room to be more intentional about capitalizing on some of the economic growth opportunities that this time is providing us, but we aren't really talking about it?
Definitely. And I know that the current board recently charged one of our key private sector partners, Sun Corridor Incorporated, to work with the county staff on overhauling the county's economic development plan to be in line with the not just the demands but also the opportunities in a post-pandemic economy. There was a report a few months ago that said that Tucson could be one of the cities and therefore Pima County one of the counties that really can be in a good position in terms of taking advantage of the opportunities in a post-pandemic economy. So again, just like with your previous question, Zach, I think it's important that we are reaching out to all of our private sector partners and partnering together with them, with the other jurisdictions within the county, so that we can take a collaborative approach to dealing not just with the challenges, but the opportunities that are going to come about in a post-pandemic economy. And that collaborative approach to leadership, not only working with private sector partners, but working through other jurisdictions, perhaps making expanded use of the Pima Association of Governments, is something that I'm going to be very committed to during my term as a supervisor.
Rex Scott, 2 minutes left. Affordable housing was big on your platform. Can you speak to anything that the county should be doing to manage the eviction crisis? And then that'll take us probably to the end. Where can people then at the end message you to start putting bugs in your ears to for them to tell you what's on their mind so you can listen?
We had a forum with the Pima County Interfaith Council prior to the general election. Every candidate for the Board of Supervisors, except for two of the Republicans, participated in this. And everybody who won this office was a participant in that forum. And all five of the incoming supervisors, the four Democrats and the one Republican, committed to working with the Pima County Interfaith Council on extending a local eviction moratorium if the national eviction moratorium put in place by the Centers for Disease Control is not extended past December 31st. We've got 75,000 people in this community, according to some research from the U of A, who haven't been able to stay current with their rent during the pandemic. That means they could be at risk for eviction. So we do need to take local action to help those people if the national moratorium is not extended. I also think that we can look at interjurisdictional and public-private partnerships to expand the stock of affordable housing within our community. And that's another collaborative effort I'd really be excited to get into with everybody in the region.
Rex Scott, your email or contact real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. People can feel free to email me at REXSC, that's the first two letters of my last name, at iCloud.com. You can use that email address until I have an official county address.
Rex, thank you, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay, Zach. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rex. We'll be back same time, same place on Thursday. We'll see you there.